Hello, my name is Miley, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation.
Up to big degree AM with the rising sun.
Up with the rising sun.
Don't think we're sleeping, there's too much work to be done.
Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting freedom, health, wellness, peace, justice, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation.
This responsibility.
Soon we'll be joined by Alyssa Sikora in Denver, Colorado. Alyssa and her husband Matt are vegan parents of two vegan children. And Alyssa is a homeschooler. Now she says a life schooler. So we'll be hearing some great information and helpful tips. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation. We're very fortunate to be joined by Alyssa Sikora, who's joining us via Skype in Denver, Colorado. Alyssa is a yoga instructor, a vegan mom of two vegan children, a homeschooler, and she has a Master's of Science degree in International Relations and a Bachelor of Science in Political Science. Welcome, Alyssa, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, I'm excited about this too. So let's start out with hearing a little bit about yourself.
I have been vegan for about 10 years almost in January. I'm from the South, so definitely not the vegan culture down in Mississippi where I'm from. But I grew up down there and I went to college in Mississippi at the University of Mississippi, and I moved to D.C. Right after college, and that's where I met my husband. When we met, neither one of us were eating beef or chicken, so it was kind of interesting that we were both kind of starting that journey independently, and then when we got together, we started doing more research, and that's kind of how we went vegan as a couple after watching Forks Over Knives, and then have gone on to have two beautiful kids, and we're where we are today. So
that's a beautiful story. Thank you. Thank you. So, yeah, I'd like to hear a little bit more about yoga before we get into the vegan family life.
Oh, yeah. And one other thing about me was, you know, you heard about my degrees. I had a career with the government for about 10 years before being a stay-at-home mom. During my time working, I was looking for opportunities to exercise, but also to do yoga because I had done yoga in college. And so my husband and I, for our first anniversary trip, our wedding anniversary trip, we went to a place called Yogaville in Charlottesville, Virginia. And that's where I really started thinking about maybe becoming a yoga teacher, because I loved the practice, but I really wanted to be able to share my practice with others. Also, as part of my government job, I was a trainer. So I really liked teaching, which I think is why I'm homeschooling now, because I really like that. So I kind of felt that call to do that. And then when we moved to Mississippi from Washington, D.C., I found that a great studio that was an Iyengar yoga studio. And I'd never heard of Iyengar yoga, but I was really drawn to the method because it was so systematic. You know, you learn the certain poses first and they build on each other, and you learn certain philosophy first and then you build on that. And that's kind of the way my brain works. I like to learn things like that and for things to build on each other. And I find that I'm a lover of learning, if that makes sense. And I'm always trying to expand my knowledge of things. So I liked this kind of yoga style because it was always trying to get more knowledge about whether it was philosophy or anatomy or the poses themselves. So that's kind of how I got into all of that.
That's interesting. And Iyengar yoga is my favorite as well. So.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I didn't realize that. That's cool. Yeah.
And I have another question about the yoga community in general.
Yeah.
Are you seeing more of a change within the yoga institutions where they are incorporating veganism rather than vegetarianism, including veganism within their mm-hmm. teachings?
Yes, that is interesting. I noticed when I came to the Iyengar method that there really weren't a lot of vegans. It's very interesting that I didn't see that many vegans. Now, I think that the vegan movement is growing as a whole overall. And so I think it is definitely growing in the yoga community because that's an area where, you know, that philosophy is taught. And I see more and more people in my community in Denver at my studio asking me about veganism and how I got started and any tips. And actually the owners of our yoga studio where I work, they're vegan. So that is very helpful when you have owners of a studio that are on the same wavelength like that. But I think it's definitely growing. I'm sad it's not bigger because it's definitely part of the philosophy, but I'm hoping, you know, with time that it will grow more.
Yes.
Because it goes in with the Ahimsa, you know, which is part of our teachings. You know, one of the, you know, part of the eight limbs of yoga is learning these yamas and niyamas. Those are the first two limbs. And Ahimsa is part of that. And Ahimsa means nonviolence to all living creatures. And so, you know, when you have that, you have to have Ahimsa with yourself, but then you have to have Ahimsa with these living beings that feel pain and suffer, you know, and that's part of yoga. And that's why veganism is just fits perfectly in with that.
Yes, for sure. Alyssa, I'd like to ask you now about vegan family life. There's so much to cover.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to let you take the lead here because there's really
a
lot we can talk about that. It's very important. So thank you again, Alyssa.
Yeah. So vegan family life. Well, one thing I will have to say is so raising vegan kids in a non-vegan world, right? But we are lucky because both me and my husband's families are very supportive because we've been vegan now for almost 10 years. So I think throughout the years, they just have come to know our philosophy and that this is an ethical, moral obligation for us. It's not just for health reasons. And so they're very supportive. They may not agree with us in every way, even though my mom is vegan and Matt's mom is vegan as well. And so that's helpful. But we know that we can trust and that we have that mutual respect with our family that if we leave our kids with them, that they were not going to feed our kids anything that we don't want them to. So that really helps. And I think having your family on board is a big help, but some people aren't fortunate to have that. So it's finding your community. And we're lucky in Denver that we have a great vegan community here. Even in Mississippi, you know, you can find your people. You can start, you know, meetup groups or having monthly potlucks. And we did a lot of tabling when we lived in Mississippi. We got married and we're living in D.C. And then a few years later, we moved down to Mississippi for a while before we came to Denver. And we were doing a lot of outreach there just because there wasn't a lot there. But since we've been in Denver, we have a great community here. So that I think community is very important if you don't have the family aspect of helping you raise your kids around a group of people that are like-minded. And then also taking your kids to places like animal sanctuaries or even activism events. We've taken our kids to a vigil at a slaughterhouse. Now, they're not actually seeing anything going on inside the slaughterhouse, but they're seeing like this is a place where, you know, things happen to animals and they're shown the truth of it, where a lot of kids are not shown the truth of it. And we've taken our kids to Anonymous for the Voiceless events. So they see that activism is a thing that needs to be part of your life. You know, it's part of giving back to the community and giving back to the animals. So I think that's very important as well. So we have, you know, your family, trying to get your family on board. If you don't have that, your community. And then finally, the activism and having that part in their lives. And then I would say maybe finally would be just educating your kids as they get older, because when they're younger, you know, you're really giving them all the snacks they need, all the food. They're not having to, you know, ask for it from other people. But as they get older, you know, they're going to play dates and they're interacting with other kids that might want to share their snacks. So what we've done with our oldest is do some role playing where we'll say, okay, I'm going to be you know, the parent asking you if you want to try some of the snack. And then we get her to practice asking, well, is this vegan? You know, I can't eat meat, dairy, or eggs. And we talk about what that is. And there's a lot of really good resources out there to help educate your kids as well, like books and YouTube videos that are available as well.
Great, very helpful tips. Thank you very much, Alyssa. And I like how you have the holistic, authentic understanding and practice of veganism. So it's not just a
Well,
diet.
thank you.
Yes, oh, wonderful, thank you. Food is a big part of it, and especially for
Yeah.
vegan families and raising vegan children. And so can
Yeah.
you share some helpful tips for our listeners?
So I think that we're lucky today that we have social media and a lot of these internet resources because I found so much information on raising vegan kids. And, you know, when you are just taking care of yourself, it's a little different. But when you're raising, you know, two little human beings, you're like, oh man, I've got to really make sure I'm getting them all the right things that they need. So when I was pregnant, I looked a lot on PCRM, the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. They have a lot of good information for vegan pregnancy. And there's actually a book, I believe, called Vegan Pregnancy. There's a couple of books out there, and I had one of them. And so that kind of helped me while I was pregnant. And also, I love if you're kind of in the vegan mom community, you've probably heard of a person named Ellen Fisher. She's got a great YouTube channel, and she has a lot of really good e-books, e-cookbooks. And I like her cookbooks for different things for vegan families, and then just for vegan pregnancy. She gives a lot of ideas of different things to eat during vegan pregnancy. And I focused a lot on drinking lots of water and eating, you know, mineral-rich food, lots of fats, that kind of thing during pregnancy. And then with my kiddos, you know, kids need more fats than adults. So I'm really trying at each meal to give more fats, you know, to include like peanut butter in their oatmeal or, my kids love peanut butter, so we can include peanut butter in everything. But you know, adding any kind of chia seeds to or hemp seeds to toast or with some nut butter. So those are kind of some breakfast ideas. And we do a lot of smoothies too, and we always put a big thing of peanut butter and some seeds in our smoothies as well. And then for lunches, I've really gotten into doing lentil pastas or chickpea pasta. I don't know if you've seen those, but those are a good option because you get that extra protein. And then sometimes I'll add red sauce. Sometimes I'll just do olive oil and some salt. And then with some fruit and some edamame, and you've got the olive oil for the fat that they need. And then for dinners, I've been working a lot at the yoga studio recently, and I'm homeschooling my daughter and taking care of a toddler. So, one thing that we did when my daughter was a baby was we got some of those pre-ordered meals, and we've gotten meals from Green Chef, Purple Carrot. Another one is Plant Pure Meals. I don't know if you've ever heard of those, but for folks that are working that don't want to cook a lot but still want healthy options, those are some good options, especially during different seasons of life. You know, there's times where we're you know, meal planning and we're prepping for the week. And then there's times where you just don't have time to do that and you have to outsource a little bit. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. You know, you just have to do the best you can when you've got little kids. But another person that I follow, Plant Based Juniors, they have a lot of great tips and you can get their email list and they send out recipes. I like to follow them because they're two plant-based nutritionists and they're all vegan with their food and they give a lot of really good ideas. And I've been looking at them recently just for lunch ideas because sometimes it's just hard to, you know, figure out lunch, especially when you're home with the kids homeschooling. You know, you have to think, okay, I need to make them a healthy lunch as well because they're home with me. You know, they're not at school getting lunch from the cafeteria. And because we're vegan, we wouldn't be doing that anyway. But, so that's kind of some of the things that we've been doing lately. And then those are some of the resources that I've been using as well.
You're listening to Alyssa Sikora, who's joining us via Skype in Denver, Colorado. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Alyssa. This is The Deer Song by Will Tuttle. Welcome back from the break. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Nowell, in Worcester, Massachusetts. We're continuing our conversation with Alyssa Sikora, a vegan mom and homeschooler in Denver, Colorado. Thank you, Alyssa. Next, I'd like to learn more about vegan homeschooling.
Vegan homeschooling, yes. So we are homeschooling my oldest. She's a kindergartner. And my son is 2, so he'll be doing a little preschool next year. We'll be starting some preschool activities. And I've just started to kind of incorporate him a little bit because he's starting to get into what sister wants to do, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, got to involve him in some ways. But I think really going back to incorporating veganism into my homeschool, we have a lot of great books. Ruby Roth is a fantastic author who's written several books, and she has a little cookbook too. It's called the Help Yourself Cookbook for Kids. And we have, I think, all of her books. We have a few others, like That's Not My Mama's Milk. There's a company called Vegan Publishers that publishes a lot of good vegan books. Another book called We're Vegan that kind of goes through the reasons why to be vegan and what vegan food looks like and, you know, all the different options of vegan food. So I think it's good to kind of introduce, you know, we're vegan. This is why we're vegan, to have these books around. The books are great for little kids. For older kids, we've watched Bite Size Vegan. She has some great videos out there specifically made for kids. And we have watched some of her videos. They're not really like graphic or anything, so you don't have to worry about that. But I just think for little kids, they don't necessarily understand what it all means. But for my 5.5-year-old, she likes those videos and definitely understands, you know, what the person's saying. So, and then involving them in activism, you know, taking them to these events, going to animal sanctuaries, you know, if we pass by a truck that's carrying animals on the road, we talk about it. We talk about why we are, you know, why we make these decisions, why we are this way, because, you know, we love the animals and we want to not cause pain and suffering. And then, like I said previously, we also do like the role playing for different situations. You know, we have a lot of vegan friends that have kids, and so we get them together with those friends too. And that, I think that's good, but I think it's also good for them to be in situations where they're not around vegan kids and they kind of have to learn to navigate these situations. Cause when they're older, they're going to have to be on their own and be navigating these situations. And right now I'm there with them so I can help them, but I think it's good for them to kind of be around non-vegan kids too. And sometimes they have conversations about it. And I think it's, I was talking to my husband about this. I was like, I think it's more challenging for the adults than it is the kids. The kids can go, oh, okay, you're vegan, you know, and they don't really, maybe they understand, maybe they don't, but then they move right on. But, you know, sometimes for the adults, there's a lot of sensitivities there. But for kids, they go, oh, okay, you're vegan, cool. You know, so that's kind of an interesting thing to navigate. And then holidays, you know, usually even with extended family, they'll make vegan options, which that took years. You know, that took years for that to happen, but I think a lot of them, because we would bring things, they were like, oh, this tastes really good. And, you know, going to holiday and events and things with our kids now is a lot easier because they'll make things, or maybe we just have to bring like a side or something. And I think going to those events and things also educates them on how to navigate these situations and and things. So all of that, because the way we homeschool is we kind of life school. You know, we're learning everything all the time. You know, it's not just when we sit down to do a lesson, which we do, but it's also like you can learn, you know, something when we go on a walk or when we're just talking about something at dinner. You know, that's part of our school. So, you know, life is about learning. And I think our kids, we want them to grow with a love of learning. And veganism is part of what we're teaching and incorporating.
You have a wealth of information, Alyssa. Thank you.
Oh, good, good.
Yes. And I have one more question that is very important for contemporary events that's happening in our society, and especially in relation to the ethics and philosophy and principles of authentic holistic veganism is bodily autonomy, sovereignty, and the respect for that, and especially when it comes to parental rights for children, for parenting and parents being able to make their own decisions concerning health, etc. Is that something you'd like to talk a little bit about?
Yes. You know, it's something that we're very passionate about as a family. You know, when we went vegan, you know, it was kind of like the wool taken off of our eyes in a way, because, you know, the way we were taught as kids was you have to have, you know, meat is protein and you have to have these things and your doctor tells you you have to have these things. And then you come to learn that, you know, doctors are not trained in nutrition. They don't know about the benefits of, you know, the vegan diet, and that there's all these studies out there because they're just not exposed to it, and that there's a lot of corruption there that keeps the medical industry pushing, you know, meat and dairy, and that the government keeps pushing meat and dairy. And so all of this is very corrupt too, with, you know, government giving money to or, you know, it's back and forth, you know, the government getting money from the dairy industry and the government giving them money and giving them tax breaks and things like that. And so there's definitely a corruption that you see just going vegan. And then from the medical autonomy perspective, it just fits right in with that, because if you know there can be corruption there, there can be corruption in this other area. And, you know, it's just something that's out there. You know, you can do this research and see that a lot of these pharmaceutical companies are paying millions, if not billions of dollars in healthcare fraud fines because of misinformation that they're putting out there. And so we know that these companies are corrupt, and yet we're putting absolute trust in them when the media is telling us to, you know. And it's like, well, why would we trust the media if they told us to eat meat when we as vegans know that it's not healthy and that there's all this research out there? Why are we going to not trust them then but trust them now? And so I think it's just a lot of, you know, logic that's not being, you know, dots that aren't being connected, that all of these things are connected and that all of these things are corrupt, and that you really have to do your own research. And that's something we did as a family, you know, when we were having our kids, you know, 6 years ago when I was pregnant with my daughter, you know, we were like, well, what are we going to do about vaccines? You know, what is going to be our decision on this? And we talked to some doctors, we talked to a microbiologist, we watched documentaries, we read books, and we ultimately came to the decision that, you know, we had to, you know, make the best decisions for our kids and make the most informed decisions for our kids based on our research. And that's why we decided to not vaccinate. And, you know, going forth, I think it's just important that medical autonomy continues, because, you know, there's just so much corruption there. And we know it from being vegan. We know it from everything that's gone on the last couple of years. And it just, to me, seems very straightforward, but I know for a lot of people it's still a very contentious issue.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Alyssa, for your courage and your wisdom and your transparency.
Well, thank you.
And all of it for being
It's not
you.
Easy. It's not an easy topic. You know, it's not an easy topic. It's a sensitive topic. You know, but I think at the end of the day, it's a personal choice and it should continue being a personal choice because, you know, when it's controlled, that's when you lose your freedom. And that's not where we want to go as a society, I don't think.
Thank you very much, Alyssa. And is there any contact information or resources to direct our listeners to, especially for those who'd like to learn more about you with yoga, as well as vegan parenting, vegan family life,
yeah,
and vegan homeschooling?
Yes. Well, you can follow me. I am at alyssa.sakura on Instagram. That is my main page for all my homeschooling. I share some stuff about veganism and raising vegan kids and gardening and lots of fun stuff. I like to garden, do that kind of stuff too, and foraging and all that fun stuff. We love nature out here in Colorado. And then my yoga platform is, I work at the Yoga Center of Denver. So you can visit, I think it's just yogacenterofdenver.com. And then my yoga Instagram is Ahimsa Moon Yoga. So that is my handle on Instagram for my yoga.
Thank you, Alyssa. Thank you very much. And tell Matt I said hello. I really enjoyed his previous Vegan Nation interviews. So thanks
yes,
again.
Yes, thank you. Yes, I know. I think that's where I first heard about you was when he was doing that.
Thank you. Thank you to your entire family. And thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you. And I look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks. You too, Alyssa. Thanks again.
Okay.
Okay, bye. Bye-bye. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. And a special thanks to Alyssa Sakura in Denver, Colorado. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station nor its management. Please join us again next week at the same time. Let's go out with more of the reggae song by Mike Love. This is Medicine Man. And this is Marlene in Massachusetts wishing you a safe and pleasant day.
All of these questions floating around in this void. Who has the answers now?
Who has the answers?
Come to the answers.
Come to you.
Guidance and wisdom.
Our inspiration.
Culture, compassion.
Our
bring us together.
Open
now.
Your eyes.
Let's all unite. Ya. Sing now in harmony. All your friends.
And this is The Dare Song by Will Tuttle. Thanks again for tuning in to Vegan Nation.